The library at the seminary that I went to serves not only the Episcopal Seminary, Church Divinity School of the Pacific, but a whole consortium of seminaries located in that area of Berkeley, California, which is known as Holy Hill, because it's on a big hill and because of all the seminaries. It includes a Jesuit seminary, a Lutheran seminary, Buddhist, Dominican, Jewish, Baptist, and many more. And so the library is huge, over 500,000 books, and it's one of the biggest theological libraries in our country. And if you went there and you wanted to read something about from that library about today's gospel, John's 10 verses about the Good Shepherd, you could find a whole shelf of books just on that topic alone, and also PhD dissertations and microfiche files and thousands of other books that include those verses in a section in the book. And not because the Good Shepherd is a special scripture, but you could just find a great volume of books on every section of scripture. And that library, as big as it is a small fraction of the books and manuscripts on every section of scripture in theological libraries and monasteries all around the world. We are never going to exhaust the depth of what can be found in scripture, or run out of ways to study it, or know everything about it, or be able to name the definitive one meaning that is correct. There's so many layers to look at and study. And I bring this up because as I reflected this week on the gospel we just heard, this image came to mind of all those shelves in the library. I spent a lot of time there, all the books, new volumes and older aging volumes. And it was in contrast to another image that came to mind about this Good Shepherd text, which was the sense of the Good Shepherd as an intimate, gentle presence. I almost could see that presence along the shelves of the books when I was frantically busy studying and trying to get things together for a paper, just there, smiling. So humble you could miss it. And I thought, in all these studies and books, valuable and good, wouldn't we want to meet the Good Shepherd, who is probably there with us in all our days, in all the things we get involved with, just there unobtrusively, respectfully, and yet so available, respectful of all the things we are occupied with, but just available to us. And John's gospel draws a detailed picture for us of the Good Shepherd. I think this picture that is drawn is itself a gateway, an invitation to know this shepherd. Here on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we've turned from stories we've been hearing about sightings of the risen Christ, often unrecognized, to an invitation, perhaps, for a sighting to us to recognize. The Good Shepherd is offering us a relationship of intimacy and trust. The Good Shepherd is one who has our best interest in mind and knows our best interests deeply. He will, John says, lead us to come in and go out and find pasture, find what nourishes and sustains us. The Divine Shepherd is kind and gentle and does not harm us, can be trusted utterly with our lives. Where he leads us is not to bitterness or addiction or blame or judgment, not to jealousy or shame, but to a sense of simple wholeness and aliveness. At the end of the gospel passage, Jesus' words are, I have come that they may have life, and have life abundantly. This giving of life, named as Jesus' purpose of why he has come. The Message translation of the Bible puts it this way, I came so they can have real life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Perhaps this shepherd can help us also to be kind and gentle to ourselves. Maybe the thieves and bandits that cross over the fence, or our own confused thoughts and inner cruelty to ourselves in our demeaning ways sometimes of thinking of ourselves or talking to ourselves in ways that we would never think of talking to a friend. We might learn from the Good Shepherd who gently leads, not with abuse or attack, but with a deep well of love. This shepherd will always protect us, but not from experiencing all of what life has to bring. As our psalm today reminded us, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will walk through many valleys, but our fears will be experienced differently if we know, as the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul and guides me on the right path." This shepherd of our soul, this guardian, does not protect us from experiencing the difficulties of life because we are much more powerful than we yet realize. We are empowered with the capacity to be with difficulties, to strengthen ourselves in wisdom and courage through using it and sharing it with others. We are entrusted with that freedom because the fruit we can produce through our strengthened hearts in God is life-giving to the world. God in us is revealed in the exercise of all that we are, not in the atrophy of it. The protection God offers us is the way to know that truth. The shepherd also protects us by guiding us from scattering inside or outside, helping us build strong communities and to feel how sustaining community and connection is to us in times of trouble and in everyday life. The Good Shepherd protects us by seeking us out when we are lost with unending diligence and love. This Good Shepherd will never forsake us. If we listen, we can sense with our inner hearing the voice of the Shepherd who sees us truly and calls us into this fullness of life. We are told in John's Gospel that this is a voice we know. It's a practice to learn to discern the difference between our trickster, ego, personal preference voice saying, this is a good thing to do, versus hearing the deep inner wisdom nudging our heart like the gentle touch of a shepherd's staff. This shepherd knows us as beloved and sees others in their belovedness and is calling us to see this vision, this truth. And we can recognize that voice. It has been with us always. And when we are listening, even if we think we don't hear anything, we are receiving something anyway. Now what might this abundant life that we are being called to look like? How might we know it? We might see it as courage arising inside. We might feel it as a job or vocation or simple acts that serve love and use our gifts, a prompting, or gentle prods to be in right relationship with one another, or in a sense of abundance, even without wealth or perfection. We might feel glimmers of joy that we could miss as they pass us. It might be a feeling of a greater something beyond us that we can turn to. Jesus is always pointing us to abundant life in the form of the simplest, clearest things: water, breath, light, life itself. And not just life as the force that animates us, but life as the presence of God with us, smiling, available. The pasture the gentle shepherd of our soul is lovingly inviting us to is divine saving love to each of us. God's infinite, powerful love coming to us in the form of a gentle, simple guardian. So simple we can overlook it. But we do sense this presence. We have been fashioned to sense this presence. We know the shepherd's voice.